Hello.
Hello, Tiffany.
Hi.
Hi. I'm so happy to talk to you today.
I am thrilled to have this conversation with you, Beth.
Yes. Yes. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Sure. So my name is Tiffany Napper. Oh, man, where do we begin? I'm from Louisiana. I have had a lot of businesses, and now I get to spend my days helping other creative women run their business.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I had the opportunity to go to your event a couple weeks ago, Creatives Unleashed. And I got to tell you, know, up at what was it, Collective 615? Up in the L, was it L&L Market.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I had the absolute best time meeting you and meeting the ladies from Ruby Money and some of the other creative women that were there. It was just such an amazing night.
Oh, thank you so much. That means so much to me to hear.
You know, I've been trying to connect with a lot of different women and stuff here in Nashville, and it's been very difficult. Mm-hmm. And when you sent me that invitation, I was just absolutely thrilled. And unfortunately, I'm a little bit away from there right now. I used to live like right across the street from there for a while. And but I just had the most amazing time. I wish I had a chance to talk to like every woman in that room because they were all so amazing. Yeah.
It was a great night. It was an amazing room of women, like you said. And I'm hoping to do more of them in other cities, not to give too much away just yet, but it looks like we're going to take the show on the road.
Oh, that would be great. You know, I'm from Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Columbus would be a really great city for you to do that. There is a fantastic art community up there, and it's one of the fashion centers of the United States, believe it or not.
Amazing. I love that. Okay, good. I'm adding that to my list.
And I can give you any resources you need up there because I still got a lot of connections up there. I'm hoping one of these days, you know, maybe when things get settled here with me and my husband, you know, that would be a great place to have a second home again, because other than Ohio, Nashville's been the only other place I've ever lived in my entire life.
Okay. Yeah. Which one do you like better, Nashville or Columbus?
You know, it's kind of weird. They're very comparable in many ways. And in terms of growing cities and what we have here, I think Nashville's a lot more spread out.
Yeah.
And we don't have quite the shopping we do in Columbus, you know, because we Columbus is where, you know, like the Limited started.
Oh, okay.
Les Wexner. He actually first started the Limited stores right across the street from my high school in Upper Arlington.
Wow.
And then built up that whole entire industry there. So that's why we have, and then we have Columbus College of Art and Design, where my son actually graduated from. And it has a very large fashion school too. So there's just this thriving art and fashion and just cultural community in Columbus. And of course we have Ohio State too. So
I love it. Good to know. My grandmother went to Miami.
Miami
Ohio.
University.
She's from a small town. I have family from a small town called Washington Courthouse, Ohio.
That's right, south of Columbus. I've been to Washington Courthouse a number of times. I'm from Upper Arlington. I graduated from Wittenberg University in Springfield, Ohio.
Okay.
And that's where John Legend is from.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
And connected with one of his cousins, and just they've done so many wonderful things. And my family's my mother's family was from the Yellow Springs and Springfield area. My dad's family's from Van Wert. And my sorority was actually founded at Miami University in Ohio.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Love it. So cool.
Washington Courthouse is really cool. There's I can't think of the name of the, there's a state park not too far away from Washington Courthouse that we used to go down to all the time and stay. And that's just, it's just a great area.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I went there quite a lot in the summers when I was a kid. I haven't been there in a long time, but
yeah, I love Ohio, but I love Nashville too. I mean, it's my husband's from the Knoxville area.
Okay.
So, this is kind of, you know, when everything gets settled, this is where we have planned to make our primary home.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
awesome.
But tell us some more about some of the stuff that you're doing with the creative women and your coaching.
Yeah.
And
So, I mean, it's been such a blur, if I'm being honest. I started officially coaching other creative business women in 2020 at the beginning of the pandemic. I had been doing it kind of on the down low, if you will, for my PR and branding clients. I've had a PR and branding agency since 2011. Uh-huh. And so I was doing coaching for those clients because it just kind of sometimes was a natural connection in order to tell your story to the media. Sometimes there was a little coaching that needed to go on as well. And I had several of my own business coaches over the years, and all of them had said to me at some point in time, Tiffany, you should probably be your own coach. Like, you should be coaching other people.
Right.
But I'm a self-learned entrepreneur. Like, I didn't come from a business background. I have a journalism background. I'm a creative at heart. I wanted to be a writer for a fashion magazine when I was younger. I was an editor for a paper for a little while. I'm really a creative at heart. I love writing. I love creating. And so I never thought of myself as someone worthy of being someone else's business coach. And then it was kind of the pandemic when I was asked to step forward and lead a workshop for the women of Collective 615, which is a co-working space in Nashville, Tennessee. And the founder of that co-working space said, hey, you know, we're having to shut our doors and it's a bummer because we just opened our doors.
Yeah, I remember the day that they opened because I was actually living across the street and came over and I was very interested in it.
Yeah. And I was a founding member. So I had already been bought in like 6 months before the doors even opened. I was like, here's my money. I'm paid in full. I want I need this.
Uh-huh.
And so Kathy is the owner. And she said, would you be willing to lead some sort of an online workshop for our members since we have to kind of all be working from home? And I said, sure. And I had never led anything like that before, which is kind of hilarious because now we're only 2.5 years from then. And I felt like I feel like I've led so many webinars. But I'll be honest, back then I was like, a webinar? I don't know what that means. And so I just kind of decided to wing it and teach what I knew, which was, here's what you can be doing with your time when it feels a little squirrely, when things feel a little slow, when you're not able to operate as usual. And here are the things that kind of helped me become a more confident business owner. And so I started teaching that, and it was really well received. I was beyond flattered that they asked me to host it over and over and over again in a pretty short time period, because more and more people kept saying, oh, I missed it. I heard it's great. I want to join. And so it was through that process that I realized this feels like home to me. This feels really comfortable and it feels really rewarding. And I feel like I'm making an impact and I feel like I have all this knowledge for a reason and I'm ready to share it and pass it along to someone else. So yeah, that's the long version of how I kind of became a business coach. And I call myself a holistic business coach because I have a yoga background as well.
Uh-huh.
And there was a lot of self-healing, personal growth involved in my journey as a business owner and in my journey to where I am now, where I'm not overworking and sacrificing my health and my well-being and my relationships for my job. So I weave a lot of that into what I teach. I'm always kind of asking my clients to come back to center, like, what is their true vision? Are they taking care of themselves? It's just a big part of what I do. So I'm not your straightforward business coach. It's not just numbers and, you know, improving that bottom line. It's a combination of improving the bottom line and creating a life that feels really good to you and making sure that you're taking care of yourself. Yeah.
I think that's a great idea. I remember the exercise that you did, you know, having us breathe in and out Yeah, that is really wonderful. And I love the diversity of the group. You know, I talked to several of the ladies who are already members.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really such a diverse group. And it was kind of funny because, you know, I have both the creative background and the business background, having worked in the brokerage industry and working in the insurance industry for so long. And now I'm working for a publishing company, trying to write about property and casualty insurance, which is not my forte. It is, this is, this job has been the most challenging job. And I did insurance claim, you know, I've worked with this stuff before, doing claim stuff for the guarantee fund, but I never dove really into the property and casualty side as much as the life and health side, because I have three professional designations on the life and health side. Mm-hmm. And this property casualty stuff has been very difficult, and it's writing. And I'm really a creative writer. Because I started writing song lyrics after I met my husband. I met him in October 2017, and he encouraged me to start writing song lyrics. And I'm a very good creative writer in terms of song lyrics and poetry, but trying to do contract analysis has been the most difficult thing for me.
I can imagine. I would not be very good at that either, Beth.
I'm not a technical writer. And it's like my photography. I'm a very creative photographer. I have taught a group of groups before, when the old Google Plus days. I taught several artistic photography workshops, mentorships. Mm-hmm. I did like 3 or 4 of them. Mm-hmm. And I worked with a large group of creative women on Google Plus to do charity projects and everything.
Wow.
And I'm just not a technical person. If you ask me what f-stop is on a camera, I have no clue. But I know how to take, you know, beautiful artistic photography, photographs.
Yeah.
And then I have, you know, the art history background, as well mm-hmm. as a really good liberal arts education. So I'm able to do all this different stuff.
Right.
And I think that, you know, being able to combine all that is really great. But I tell you, I sit there some days, I just want to cry at my computer. But I'm trying to work on this personal auto thing now, but my boss is fantastic. She was recommended to me. I had to go back to work last year, and she was recommended to me by a sorority sister, because they go to church together up in the Cincinnati area.
Uh-huh.
And I appreciate, you know, everything mm-hmm. that I'm doing there, but it is a challenge. I really want to get back into doing the more creative side once mm-hmm. I get a few things straightened out with my husband. Mm-hmm. We've had a couple tough years.
Yeah.
But we're on the upturn.
I mean, gosh,
now.
Haven't we all?
Yeah. We're on the upturn now.
Oh, good.
Getting closer to having, you know, everything fixed and resolved, and really being able to start to work together creatively. And that's really the goal.
Yeah,
and I am so ready to start doing the creative side again, to do more photography, mm-hmm. to do more songwriting, and of course the podcast. I love doing the podcast. I love when I get to interview people like you.
Oh, yes, so fun.
yes. And I tell you, you know, I just think what you're doing is fantastic. And I think what Ruby Money is doing too is fantastic too. I was extremely impressed with both, is it Angie?
Evelyn and Angie,
Evelyn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember Evelyn because my stepmother's first name is Evelyn. That's that's how I always can remember her. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I was just really impressed with the whole thing. And, you know, just the whole event was just really wonderful. And I hope that you get to, I hope that you do expand it to other cities.
Yeah, we're looking at, so I had had another entity reach out to me and want to partner up to do this. So first up is going to be Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, that's a great city to do anything in.
Mm-hmm. And then we're looking at Denver, Colorado. So
yeah.
And hopefully many more to come. I think, you know, I felt like the response was really great. It's an important conversation. So for those who weren't in the room, you know, we spent a lot of time just talking about the realness of being a business owner, and especially a creative business owner, and the ups and downs that come with that, and the requirements that come with that, and everything from mindset shifts that we kind of have to make to learning that we don't have to wear all of the hats. We don't have to bear the entire burden on our own two shoulders. And then obviously we had some money conversations around how do we really make smart monetary decisions, be really fiscally responsible. What does that look like? And just, you know, some worthwhile conversations, the types of conversations that, to be honest, Beth, I wish I would have had, or I wish someone would have had with me back in 2011 when I made the jump to become an entrepreneur. And for better or worse, sometimes I think it's okay for us to make that leap and not know everything right off the bat, because I'm not sure we would make the leap if we knew everything.
Right, right.
But there's still some things that I wish I had learned a little earlier in my journey. And not to say I don't have any regrets. I believe everything happens for a reason, for sure. But if I can help someone learn a few things or adopt something a little earlier in their journey and save them from some heartache, then I'll feel like I've done my job. And I think so that's really kind of what important. That event is about.
Yeah. My mother, in the early 80s, branched out on her own with her own insurance agency. Actually, my mm-hmm. very first job besides babysitting was right after I graduated high school, was working as her secretary for 3 months. And she set up an insurance agency. So I got to see firsthand, you know, a woman entrepreneur.
I love that.
And we were one of the first mother-daughter chartered life underwriters in the American college history, because I went and pursued my chartered life underwriter. It's not active anymore, but there were very few women at the time who were really pursuing big careers in insurance.
Wow.
And so that was really something interesting. And my stepmother, who's she just turned 89 in January, still works as a life and health agent down in Houston, Texas.
Okay.
And so she has had her own business, but within the confines of a larger agency, whereas my mother had her own standalone business. So I got to see kind of the trials and tribulations that my mother went through with that. And I think that had my mother had, you know, some sort of a supportive woman's group, you know, I think it would have made her journey a lot easier.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, you're so lucky. I'm in the same boat. I was also able to witness my mom run her own business. And, you know, it didn't dawn on me when I decided to go out on my own. It didn't really dawn on me that gave me a little bit of an upper hand, just because it wasn't such a foreign concept to me. I wasn't so afraid of the failure that a lot of people might be afraid of, because I had a role model. I had witnessed that this could work, right?
Right.
And we all know how big of a deal that is, to be able to see someone do something that looks like you, or that you know you can relate to. But yeah, a lot of people don't have that. A lot of people don't have a family member who's ever worked outside of the corporate entities. And so it's really scary. And there's a lot that we just don't know. And even with a role model in front of me, there was still so much I didn't know. So I think it's really, really cool that you and I both got to witness that firsthand and experience that, and gave us the bravery, if you will, to go out and maybe forge our own path and trust that journey.
Yes, yes. And my mother always got on my case. My mother was very scientific and I'm very artistic. But we came together in that we both had this business sense.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of where that really gelled with us. You know, she didn't understand the creative side, although she knitted and she would do embroidery and stuff, but she was very by the book. You know, this is absolutely how it has to be. And I'm like the creative one. I just go at it. And so she never understood my creative drive. But where we always came together was in the business sense. And I had debated taking over her life and health agency at one point about 20 years ago. And I kind of nixed it because I just didn't think that I was a good enough salesperson. And here's where I found out I'm actually a pretty decent salesperson if I know the product well. I had to take a temporary job for a couple months last year when I had to go back to work. And I ended up working at Kate Spade Outlet at Opry Mills.
Okay.
And I was actually hired by a sorority sister there too. I didn't know she was a sorority sister when she hired me.
I love that.
And I was working there, and I hadn't worked retail since I was in college. And I used to sell shoes.
Okay.
But I had been a consumer of Kate Spade products for so long that once I got into the store, I could sell the heck out of designer purses.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're passionate about it, it comes natural, right? It's easy to talk about something we love.
Yes. And it's you know, it was a very good opportunity, but it just, I mean, the reason I quit retail in the first place was because, you know, my feet just couldn't handle pounding the pavement on the concrete floor. And then when I got this other job, it just made more sense just to do this job. But I do miss the discount at Kate Spade and Coach.
As would I. I've always been a big Kate Spade fan.
Oh, I love her stuff. I love the stuff. And with Coach being the sister company, I mean, I knew Coach and Kate Spade backwards and forwards. Mm. And I'm still waiting to get my pod from Columbus, Ohio, that has all my good stuff in there. So, I mean, I only came down here for a long weekend. And
you know, that's the same. Well, I didn't come for a long weekend, but I came back in 2017. I had lived here prior to that, but I came back in 2017 to get my yoga teaching certificate, which was a 3-month process. So I came for 3 months and then kind of never went back to New Orleans, which is where my house was, you know?
I had been down here to meet, because we were originally going to move to San Diego, where my husband was going to manage a recording studio out there, take over his friend's recording studio, and it just fell through. And I was supposed to come down here, meet his family. We were going to go to San Diego together, and all sorts of stuff happened. So I've ended up staying down here while we wait for things to get fixed so we could get our dream house. And we've had like 5 houses fall through on us. We've had the most difficult time. So I've been struggling with places to stay here. And it's been very difficult. You know, fortunately, I found a couple people that have welcomed me into their, and, you know, I've rented from them. I've managed an Airbnb. And I'm hoping now that we're at the point where we're going to be able to finally get our own place.
Fingers crossed for you.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
But it's been a challenge. But Nashville, you know, as I tell people, you know, Nashville's been very good to me, and Nashville's very rough. I mean, I've learned a lot about myself and about strength and resilience and everything here.
So. Yeah. Those are powerful lessons that serve us for a lifetime.
Yes. And, you know, I've always been a very strong woman. I mean, I raised both of my children, who are 8 years apart, on my own. And, you know, I worked full time and worked my way up at the guarantee fund. And then I left that to be with my husband. And now I'm on this adventure again to find what I want to do in life. And what I want to do in life is work with my husband. On the creative side, he's in the music industry, and also really pursue my photography again. I would love to do jewelry again, but because I don't know if I told you about my broken arm.
No.
I fell and broke my arm. I was walking to the post office on Charlotte. I ran across the street real quickly, and I tripped on a curb, slid across the sidewalk about 10 feet, broke both the bones in my forearm, messed up my wrist, messed up my nose, my upper lip, and chipped a tooth. My husband was out of town. My best friend was out of town. The people I was staying with at the Airbnb were out of town. I had, and so I'm taken down, you know, to St. Thomas, you know, Ascension St. Thomas in Belle Meade area. And so I had nobody to call, but there was a young musician who had been staying at the Airbnb the night before, and he just moved to his apartment in East Nashville, and I had his phone number. So I texted him and said, "Can you come back to the house and take me home from the hospital?"
Oh my goodness.
And thank goodness this young, he's a remarkable young man. I actually interviewed him, Mikel Raphael, and I interviewed him before the accident. And he came and he picked me up at the hospital, took me home, stayed overnight at the Airbnb because there's nobody else there that night, and made me breakfast the next morning and made sure I was okay. And by then, you know, I got in a hold of my husband, got a hold of my best friend of the Airbnb, who and my best friend is actually texting me right now. I'll get back to him. I told him I had an interview. And so you know, that was just really wonderful that I was able to do that. And it's a connection that I met here in Nashville, you know, and meeting these connections here in Nashville, it's been wonderful. There's been so many wonderful people I've met along the way that have, you know, even when things were really bad, they kind of cheered me up and made me feel good. And then meeting you, that was so fantastic. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, I feel the same way. Nashville's got some pretty good humans here. And it's, you know, I've also been on, like I said, I've been on my own little personal journey the last couple of years, really the last 5 years. And I'm grateful for the people here, because I don't know that I would have been able to be where I am now if it weren't for the support. And just, you know, people say we're friendly, people are friendly in Nashville, but it couldn't be more true. It could not be more true.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, there's just so much here. I mean, there's so much culture, and there's so much, I mean, there's just a spirit here in Nashville that I think is really amazing. Mm-hmm. I had a lady who found me on Instagram, who's a fellow artist, and invited me down to the Art and Soul Nashville, which is kind of this artistic cooperative. And I feel bad I have not been able to go back, but I was able to go to one of their events last year. Mm-hmm. And that was a really cool art community.
I need to find out more about that. That sounds
awesome. Check out Art and Soul Nashville. What I'll do is after this, I'll give you Robin's information.
Okay, amazing. I would love that.
Yeah,
I would love that.
That group was so welcoming there. And as I said, I feel bad I've not been able to go back there.
Yeah.
But I do at some point hope to get back there, because I think it's just this amazing group of creative women. And I think there's some men involved too. It's not just women.
Yeah.
And it's just this wonderful little space where you can go and create, and they do these workshops. And
cool.
They had like a flea market. That was what I went. And I took some of my ink drawings, because I had started doing ink drawings again.
Uh-huh.
And I took some of them down there, sold a couple, but I rolled all my profits into buying other stuff.
Purchases?
From other artists. Yeah. Because,
I hear you. You
know, there was just so much cool stuff. I mean, there was just so much cool stuff that I wanted, you know, and that was really amazing to go down there. And I highly recommend, you know, recommend connecting with them. And if any of your members are looking for a creative outlet, I think that is a really good resource here in Nashville.
Good to know. Yeah, we do have some pretty cool stuff. Have you ever been to Porter Flea, Beth?
No, I haven't.
Oh, Porter Flea is amazing. It's not just local anymore. They attract people from all over the country, but it's all makers. Really, really cool. I just went to one a couple weeks ago. I don't know how they do it. 4 times a year, maybe something like that. But if you get a chance, go to that. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just so good to see all the good, you know, creatives who are running their own business and out there, you know, doing the thing. It's really fun to see. That used to be me. I used to have a handbag line. So I used to do events like that. Yep.
I used to do beaded jewelry.
Okay.
And I love handbags. Robbins has a really good friend from Italy who does these most gorgeous Italian leather handmade. And I ended up buying a bracelet from her, because I really didn't have enough money that day to get one of the handbags. But I love accessories. I love fashion and accessories, even though I don't really dress. I mean, I look at fashion more as from the artistic viewpoint. Because I have my own sense of style. I mean, I'm very, very kind of
that's
classical.
What fashion's all about.
Yeah.
Your personality, have some fun, I think, at least.
Yes. And I've always, I've always followed it. But I have my own sense, my own way of doing things.
Always
been my own person. And then too, I don't know if you got to see that I got by miracle, because I was supposed to have a pass to the concert. I got front and center at the Kenny Chesney show.
What?
I don't know if you saw that.
No.
I was supposed to have a pass to go to the show, and it never arrived.
Okay.
So I ended up going just down to the pre-party the night before, and the Whelan brothers were playing. I can't remember the hotel. It was right behind. It was right behind the big Marriott there, and it was on the 27th floor. And they had the Whelan brothers playing. They had Blue Cherubei Rum. They had NSR. They had all this stuff going on. And so I thought, well, if that's my only thing I could do, because I've written some lyrics for Kenny that he's not released them or anything, but you know, I do have a lyric writing relationship with him. And so I was supposed to get a pass, didn't get it. And so I said, well, if that's the only thing that I get, that's it. My friend would stop texting me. So I said, if that's all I get from this experience, that's okay. Because the Whelan brothers put on a fantastic show. I got interviewed on NSR. I got to meet, you know, some of the hosts and everything. And got to meet some really great fans. And this guy I was talking to from West Palm Beach, he found out I was a songwriter. And his future son-in-law is also a songwriter. So he connected me with his future son-in-law, Cody. And he said that there is a lady here in a red 2020 Kenny Chesney shirt that has a spare Sandbar ticket, and but I don't know if she still has it. And so we looked for her all evening, couldn't find her. Getting ready at the end of the event, I'm like, okay, this is my experience. That's it. And two people in front of me is a lady with the red Kenny Chesney 2020 shirt. And I came up and I said, somebody said you had a spare VIP Sandbar ticket. She said, yes, I still have it. And she says, what's your phone number? And I gave her my phone number. She says, it's yours.
Oh, wow.
You know, of course, you're not supposed to scalp tickets anyway.
Yeah.
So, and she says, it's yours. This is my phone number. And talk to her on the elevator down. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, Sandbar. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Not knowing it was VIP Sandbar.
Wow.
So the next morning, she contacts me about 9 o'clock. You still interested in the tickets? I said, yeah. She says, well, we're already down here. I said, well, let me get ready. And I was planning on Ubering down. I was planning on meeting her at 2. Instead, you know, it's like 9:45.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I'm out walking the dachshunds here, and I look down and I find a four-leaf clover.
Oh.
First one I found in a long time. I found one last summer. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, maybe my luck is turning. So I get down there. She's like the first 5-6 people in line there. So we get in. And you go in and you wait again for VIP inside the stadium, and you go single file. And by the time I got there, I was smack dab front and center. So it made a couple people's dreams come true, because not just mine to be there. And it was the most fantastic experience I've had in a long time here in Nashville. And I made some really good friends that day.
Fans
of his that I'm staying in touch with. And then after the show, I needed to Uber back. And but, you know, you got 55,000 people leaving the stadium all at the same time. And the pedestrian bridge was wall to wall people. And I just kind of stuck with the lady who gave me the ticket and this other couple that I had met that I stood next to during the whole show. And we all connected. And so we ended up walking all the way down 3rd Street to Germantown to a burger joint and had burgers, met up with some other fans and had burgers. And by that time, the Uber prices had dropped. And so I was able to get home. But it was just this amazing, amazing night. And it kind of started to turn events for me here because I had been really depressed the week before. And then all of a sudden, hey, you know, so, I mean, that's another amazing story about Nashville.
I love it. And music is such a uniter. It really is. I think sometimes we dismiss it as, oh, it's just this thing we listen to, but it's also such a big uniter in life. So I love that experience and that story.
Yes. And my last interview was Aaron Okasik, who is one of the late Rick Okasik's sons. He has 6 sons. And I knew his two eldest sons because they were really good friends with my son's father. And I have met both of them and have connections going back to 1985 with that part. I had never met Aaron. And I had seen that he was starting to do music. And so I connected with him. And I said, would you like to do a podcast interview? And it turns out because of COVID, Aaron and his dad died in 2019. Aaron, who had been kind of playing guitar, never pursued music or anything because he's a filmmaker background. He started writing songs. And so he's getting ready to put out an album.
Oh, wow.
And he never sang before. And it's just amazing his journey, you know, to coming late in life at age 48 into music. Mm-hmm. And he has such a legacy, too.
Yeah.
So
that's so cool.
And I'm sitting outside. I'm right on the path of the airport here.
I can't even hear it.
Okay, good. And so, you know, it's just amazing the connections that you meet, not just in Nashville, but on social media as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. 100%. Yes. Yeah.
Because that's how we met.
Yep. I know. I've met so many amazing people through social media, for better or for worse. Instagram, especially, for better or for worse for me. I've had moments where I had to really step away. And even still, you know, I think we can all relate to this notion that it becomes a little bit of a habit to like check your social media. And
yeah,
and there's, I mean, and it's built for that, right? It's built to kind of make us addicted to it. So for better or for worse, but I've met so many great people through that platform and so many great friends and amazing, you know, clients as well. And so I like showing up, and I've learned how to have a healthier relationship with it. And I've learned how to set my boundaries.
Yes. I had to learn a lot. I had some really negative experiences, but I've had a lot of positive. All mine started out positive on Google Plus with the photography community and everything in beta. And I had this whole core group. And when Google Plus started shutting down, you know, it's like, where do we go next? And so we have fortunately found a lot of each other again on Instagram. But Instagram, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of scam artists. There's a lot of people that just will come after you. You know, if you have any connection whatsoever to a celebrity, they will come after you. And because I do have these connections, I've had some really awful people. But I still view it very positively because I have my core photography and artist group there always to support me.
Yeah.
And my high school friends and college people. And I think that's fantastic. And then people I met along the way, like you and Robin, who I'm going to give you her information too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm having lunch today with people I met through Instagram. I'm going to a concert tonight with clients who found me through Instagram. So, you know, it can be pretty magical. You just have to kind of learn how to set some boundaries and get really clear on what your purpose is there. Like, why are we using it? Is it for entertainment? Is it to educate? Is it to reach? Is it to connect? You know, I think there's just a lot of boundaries that we kind of have to learn on our own time as far as what we're doing there. So I decided a long time ago, probably 3 years ago, that I wouldn't post on the weekends. You know, if I feel like sharing something from my personal life, I'll share it, but it's not necessary. And that helped me quite a bit.
Yes. Yes. So I am just been so excited talking to you.
I know, this is so great.
We'll have to get together and have lunch or something sometime.
Yes.
Cause I do work remotely, you know, and so, I do have a little bit of flexibility, as long as I get my work done. And in a few minutes, I've got to go back and, get in analysis again.
put on that hat for a little bit.
Put on that hat. But you know, I'm used to wearing so many different hats.
Yeah.
You know, as you know, we started out here, and I always like to bring things back around.
Yeah.
Is having that business background along with the creative background is just an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that what you're doing, bringing the business coaching to the creatives, it's just really wonderful.
Thank you. It feels right. I'll say that. It does feel really right. So I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful for the journey. And I love what I do. I mean, I'm a creative too. So it feels nice to be surrounded by people who get me and I get them. So I'm really grateful and I'm glad we met, Beth.
I really am too. And I thank you so much for coming on and talking to me today.
Oh my gosh. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Well, take care, Tiffany, and have a great weekend.
All right. You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.